This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hello, everybody. This is Spencer, but you're not here to listen to me. You're here to listen to my dad on the Handgun World Podcast. Why does he carry a gun? Because he can't carry a cop.
Hi, folks. This is Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast, episode 241. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Remember that the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. So therefore, make sure you're always using good ammunition. Make sure your gun is always in good working order. Make sure before you leave the house every day that you press check your pistol. Make sure that you have a round in the chamber. Because when you never know when you might not have put a round in the chamber, or you might think there's one in there, but there's not. Come on now, be honest. Has that ever happened to you? I'll be honest, it's happened to me. Thought I had a round in the chamber, and I didn't. Every time the gun leaves you, whether it goes into the safe, whether you unload it for some reason, after you reload your pistol, press check, make sure there's a round in the chamber. Even if you put your loaded gun in the safe, when you take your loaded gun out of the safe, press check to make sure the round is still in the chamber. Why? Hey, you could be like me. You might have taken it out of the safe, you might have unloaded it, forgot you unloaded it, stuck it back in the safe, and then take it out, put it in your holster, and walk around with an unloaded gun. I've done that. I'm going to admit that. So, don't hear a click when you're expecting a bang. And you know what? When you're cleaning your gun, make sure you don't leave a round in the chamber, and so you don't hear a bang when you're expecting a click. Or don't do something stupid at the range and hear a bang when you're expecting a click. Double check, triple check your guns, especially when you dry fire practice and things like that. People were wondering why I say that, why I have that little tagline at the end of every podcast. So I thought I'd explain it here up front in the beginning and explain what I meant by that. Well, this episode is going to be the primary topic. I'm going to talk about what I think is going right and what I think is going wrong in the gun industry right now. There's some things that seem to be going really good right now, and there's some things that are troubling to me that I think are going wrong. And I'm gonna talk about both and kind of give you who listen some challenges, maybe some things to think about that you could do to, if you agree with me, to work on some of these things. All right? So let's get started with what I think is going right. Well, first of all, ammunition prices are coming down. Isn't that great? Okay, ammo prices, they're coming down. And it seems like the ammunition is becoming more available. Ben Branham and I had a long discussion just the other day. He's been working a lot of gun shows. I might start working some of the gun shows with him for a local firearms dealer here in San Antonio. I'm kicking that idea around, making a little extra money on the side and spending, you know, a Saturday or Sunday every couple months working a gun show, selling some guns. And he's been telling me there's quite a bit of ammunition that's becoming available and guns that are becoming available. And most of the people that I've been talking to, at least in my general area here in the Alamo City, San Antonio, around here they say it's becoming more available and there are fewer limits being placed on ammo purchases by retailers. So that's a pretty good thing. So I think that's what's going right. Now I'm going to say, I have been guilty of doing some panic buying earlier this year. How about you? Come on now, admit it. Come on, admit it. Okay, maybe there's some of you that didn't do any panic buying. Maybe some of you had the patience and the fortitude. Unfortunately, I did some panic buying and I bought some stuff at some higher prices than I should have. But you know, recently I moved, by the way. I don't know if you know that. I moved half a mile away. We downsized, bought a new house, downsized, lowered our payment a little bit, but more importantly, lowered the size of our home. And we moved from a two-story to a one-story with with the illness battles that I'm facing with my wife right now, and also just from our preference standpoint, we wanted a smaller one-story house that's easier to take care of and easier to get around in, and something that's easier for us to modify if we have to. So when I moved, I did an ammo inventory. And guess what? It was really cool, you know, because, you know, I start packing up all my ammo and moving it from one place to another. And lo and behold, I have more ammo than I thought I had. How about that? More rifle and pistol ammo and more shotgun ammo than I thought that I had. So the reason I'm bringing this whole thing up here is because I've been accumulating ammo quite a bit over the last 3 or 4 years. So even though I did a little bit of panic buying, the average price of all the ammo that I've purchased is still pretty low by today's standards. As a matter of fact, my average price is still probably a lot lower than what you could buy ammo for today. So if you go out and buy ammo at, 25 cents a round or 20 cents a round for 9mm full metal jacket, I think my average is less than that. That's just kind of give you an example because I've been collecting so much. So that's what seems to be going right. Another thing is the availability of guns. Now, some of the new hotter guns, some of the new hot sellers, the popular ones like the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield and the Springfield XDS and 45 and 9mm, those guns are in such high demand right now, those still seem to be relatively hard to find. Compared to, like, if you wanted to buy a Glock or if you wanted to buy a 1911 or if you wanted to buy an M&P, you know, full size or something like that. You know, magazines. Oh, there you go, magazines. You know, I did some panic buying of magazines, but the normal capacity magazines are more available. For those of you relatively new to listening to my show, a 15-round or a 17-round pistol magazine is a normal capacity magazine. I don't care what the gun control nerds tell you. They're gun control nerds. They have no idea what they're talking about. 17 rounds is normal capacity. Ask law enforcement. Okay? Ask a cop if the Glock 22 that he's carrying, for example, which a lot of them carry, a Glock Model 22, ask him if the, what is it? I think it's 16 rounds that pistol holds. Can't remember off the top of my head. It's either 15 or 16 rounds of 40 caliber. Ask him if that's normal. Ask him if 10 rounds would be below normal. So, you know, I don't care what these knuckleheads tell you. Normal capacity is what you see in most polymer pistols and 1911s, but mostly polymer pistols today. They are becoming more readily available, and guess what? They're lowered in price. Same with AR-15 magazines, for example. 30 rounds is normal. You know, 45 rounds or 40 rounds might be considered slightly high. 100 rounds might be considered somewhat high. 20-round magazines are low. Okay, 30-round magazines, normal. Becoming much more affordable, much more readily available. Have you found that out to be true? I have here in South Texas. I know there's people listening to me from all over the United States, and I have international listeners as well. Just got an email, by the way. This is cool. You ready? This is cool. I got an email from somebody in Spain listening to me. Now, I to the best of my knowledge, I think Spain has some pretty strict gun laws, don't they? But he's listening to my show, so I'm not going to call him out by name, but to my listener from Spain, here's a shout-out to you. Thank you for listening to my show. I appreciate that. That's very flattering. Don't you love the power of the internet? It's awesome. It's awesome. God, 4 years ago, if you'd have told me I would have had an international audience, I would have thought you were crazy. But I'm just a guy in my car right now who's learned a little bit about guns, become an instructor, started off as an everyday guy, folks, as I've mentioned before, a Yankee with a gun. I was born in New York City, raised very modestly in Wisconsin, grew up most of my life in a modest household in Wisconsin, graduated from the University of Wisconsin, and just got my business degree. I'm just a sales guy traveling around Texas and Louisiana selling hotel security products, and now I podcast about firearms. I've been a student of firearms for a long time, folks, going on 8 years now. 8 years taking training classes. Been instructing now a little over a year for Suarez International. Hey, and by the way, I got an announcement coming up about that pretty soon. But let me stay on topic here. It's just flattering to have international listeners. Anyway, the magazines, that's what's really cool about them staying or coming back down to somewhat normal prices, and the normal capacity is available again. So that's another good thing. Okay, other good things I'd like to point out are some of the laws that are changing. Now, there's some bad laws, but there's some good laws. So I'm talking about the positives right now. Illinois, for example. Illinois was forced to pass some type of concealed carry. I know it's very restrictive to all my Illinois listeners. I know I've been getting your emails. Yes, it's going to be very restrictive. And they sure are going to make it as difficult as they possibly can for you to get concealed carry. But they must offer concealed carry. Now, I'm not sure if that law has gone into effect yet. Has it? To all my listeners in Illinois, email me and let me know if it's gone into effect. When and if it does, well, it is going to go into effect. When it does, all 50 states in the United States will offer some form of concealed carry. Now, I know that there are some states that make it so restrictive that they might as well not even have a concealed carry law. I get that. So we need to work on that. That's part of the negatives. But that's swinging in a positive direction, I think. And I think that's a good thing. Other laws, there are other states that are kind of loosening up their concealed carry license requirements. That was supposed to pass in Texas. I don't think it did. But anyway, the cool thing is that you see a lot of states right now are loosening up some of the requirements to qualify, which I think is a good thing because we do have a constitutional right. Again, I don't care what the gun control nerds say. No gun control nerd has ever been able to email me any really cohesive reason why we do not have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms. I mean, it's pretty plainly spelled in the Constitution. And they come up with all this militia crap or all this BS that the Founding Fathers never intended for us to have AR-15s and all that. Which, how do they know? That's baloney. Okay? The Founding Fathers, when they founded this country, they wanted the citizens to have the same military-style weapons that the military of that day had. Okay? So why should that not be true today? Right? Back when the Constitution was ratified and the Second Amendment was ratified, if they wanted the citizenry to protect or to possess the same kind of weapons that the military had, why doesn't that hold true today? Again, I've been putting this challenge out for a year and a half, I think. Nobody's taken me up on it, and I'm beginning to wonder why. Well, actually, I think I know why. The challenge is, I'd like an anti-gun person that believes that we don't have the right to keep and bear arms. Please, please email me or call my voicemail. Okay? Call my voicemail. You can leave 3 minutes worth of message. You can call 4 or 5 times if you want and leave 12 to 15 minutes worth of a message, and I'll edit it and I'll put it on the show. I won't take words out. I'll just splice them all together. Or email me and let's set up a better yet, a Skype interview. And make your case on my show as to why. Give me a good reason, good, clear, and concise reason backed up by the Constitution and backed up by precedent and by facts. Why citizens should not have the right to keep and bear arms, and why citizens should not have the right to keep and bear the type of arms necessary for self-defense, even if they are a military-style weapon. And by the way, you don't see a whole lot of soldiers out there with semi-auto AR-15s. I was corrected when I said that none of them carry them. I was corrected, but the majority of them are carrying selective fire weapons, which most civilians do not own and cannot carry a full auto pistol and so on and so forth. All right, so most people do not have in their houses the same weapons as the military anyway. But that nobody has risen to that challenge to volunteer to come on my show. And I promise to be nice. I promise to be very nice, very civil, very calm. I'll make my points in a calm manner. You can make your points in a calm manner if you're an anti-gunner. Okay? But nobody's taking me up on it. Maybe it's because they really don't have anything to back it up. I don't know. Sure would love that if you could do that. And if you're an anti-gunner, that would make for some I think, a good fun time. My voicemail number is 210-646-1727. That's 210 area code 646-1727. Or go to handgunworld.com. That's handgunworld.com. And in the lower right-hand side of the front page of my website, you'll see a Call Me button, which will hook your phone up with my pre-recorded voicemail, and I will put you on the show, or we can arrange for a Skype interview, okay? So the laws, that's some more good stuff. The laws have been loosening up in many different ways, and I was glad. I mean, look at my home state of Wisconsin, for example, okay? Let's just use Wisconsin as an example. When I first started podcasting, Wisconsin did not allow concealed carry. Now they do. As a matter of fact, it's pretty easy. It's actually easier to get your concealed carry license in Wisconsin than it is here in Texas. How about that? It's easier in Wisconsin than it is in Texas. It's easier in places like Indiana and Utah than it is in Texas. But here, Wisconsin went from not having any concealed carry to making it very easy. I mean, basically, as long as you're not a convicted felon and you can provide 4 hours of the necessary type of training, you can get your concealed carry permit in the state of Wisconsin. And it's great. That is awesome. It's the way it should be. My home state where I grew up, lots of hunters up there. Lots of hunters. I used to hunt as much as I could possibly get out and hunt. And boy, I sure missed that. Yeah, but they couldn't carry their pistols for self-defense. What kind of baloney was that? So finally, Wisconsin got with the program, and now they're on board. So those are some positive laws and things like that. Other positives would be laws in states, and I'll use Texas as one of them, and other states have done this. A lot of states have passed laws making it legal for you to keep your gun in your car at your employer while your car is in the parking lot. So you can take your gun to work and you can keep it in the car. You probably can't go into your building where you work with the gun, but you can keep it in your car. In Texas, they forbid employers from denying you that right now. So, can you still get fired? Yeah, I guess the employer's not breaking a law, by firing you if they want to. Because Texas is a right-to-work state, but at least you're not breaking a law by doing that. And that's good. I mean, there are people who... Here's an example. There are people who have been working in the same building for 20 years, for example. And maybe it was a good area when they started working there, but maybe there's been a high amount of crime lately in that area where they work. And they, up until recently, have not been able to take their guns to their workplace for protection. Especially when they are leaving the parking lot or leaving the general area of their workplace. They've been unprotected, couldn't take their guns. So now that's changed. So that's some good stuff. So laws like that. More and more states recently have passed open carry. So that's good. See, I mean, I wish we'd have open carry here in Texas. A lot of people don't realize that we don't have open carry here in Texas. I wish we'd have it simply because I don't really want to open carry, but I've said this many times. I don't want to open carry, but I don't want to be committing a crime if my gun accidentally prints and someone accidentally sees it, for example. If the wind blows my shirt up and they can see my gun or something like that, technically that's a crime in Texas. I don't want that to be that way anymore. So we're seeing more states that are loosening up and allowing open carry and things like that, which is good. You know, when Eric Shelton was doing the handgun podcast, he used to say quite often that we're winning. In other words, those of us who believe in gun control, I misspoke. Sorry to Eric and everybody else. Those of us who do not believe in gun control, those of us who believe in gun freedom, we're winning. We're winning the battle. But we can't let up. We cannot let up. The reason we're winning is because we're active. And that's another good thing that's been going on. We've been active. You know, this last gun control battle here after the Sandy Hook shooting, when Obama and Biden and all the people in Congress went nuts here with gun control, which I'm about to get into some of those negatives pretty soon. When they went nuts with the gun control stuff, boy, did we ever get active. Wow, did we ever mobilize. I mean, we just beat them back with sheer numbers, didn't we? Right, wasn't that cool? How many of you listening to this are like me? I sent out about 60 or 70 emails. I used the Ruger website and I used the Hornady website. And I also directly wrote my congressmen and my senators. My two senators here were easy. Senator Ted Cruz here in Texas. I didn't have to worry about Senator Ted Cruz. And John Cornyn, he's pretty gun-friendly too. My congressman never did answer me. I live in San Antonio, and I live in Congressman John Doggett's district. I don't live in Lamar Smith's district. I wish I did. I wish I lived in Lamar Smith's district, but I don't. I live in Congressman Doggett's district. He's a Democrat. He never answered me. I emailed him a bunch of times about how I felt. Never got a response. Imagine that. I wonder where he stood on that side of the issue. I didn't bother to look up. Well, actually, I guess there weren't any votes, really, were there. I got a feeling how he would have voted, though. The simple fact that he didn't even send me a response and just ignored me pretty much tells me where he stood on the issue. But because we got so active, we the people, the way it's supposed to be, we prevented the United States Senate from voting on some very major parts of gun legislation. And this stupid enhanced background checks baloney was not enhanced background checks. That's hogwash. Okay? Listen to some of the interviews I did with Glenn Tate. Listen to some of the interviews that he's done on some of the other podcasts. Pay attention to what's going on out there. That was a huge attempt at gun registration. That's simply what it was, plain and simple. It's a huge attempt at gun registration. Without gun registration, there can be no gun control. Okay? Because how are you going to control the guns if you don't know who has them? They have to know who has them first. How do you know who has guns? You force gun registration. That's why we must never, ever, ever, ever allow gun registration. I got to tell you a story about that. Here's an interesting story. I'm going to withhold names. I don't want to embarrass anybody. My wife has a friend, and she was talking to this friend, a female friend, and the subject of guns came up. And, of course, my wife told her friend what I do. And my wife's friend said, oh, she says, my husband, he has a gun. He has an illegal gun at home. And my wife said, really? He has an illegal gun? What is it? What does he have? Some kind of a, you know, full auto that he doesn't have a license for it or something? And my wife's friend says, no, he has an illegal gun because it's not registered. And my wife very politely explained to her that we don't have gun registration here in Texas. And so, therefore, her husband does not have an illegal gun. But you see what I'm talking about? You see the ignorance of the general public? And this is a woman who's lived in Texas for quite some time and didn't know that her husband doesn't have to register her gun because In many ways, we are a good free state here in Texas. We do not require gun registration. And, of course, you know, most states don't require gun registration. But here you have an example of a citizen that didn't know that. And I'm sure my wife handled it tactfully. I was not there. I was not part of that conversation. And my wife told me about the conversation. But that's another good thing, you see. But that's one of the negatives, is that we got some ignorant people out there that don't know, really, their own laws, which I'm going to get to that in a little bit here. So, but I'm still on the positives, the good stuff. Gun shows. Gun shows seem to be fairly busy again, which is good. I haven't been to a gun show lately. I'm probably, like I said, going to work one later on this month with Ben Branham. or actually next month. So I get a chance to see for myself. I haven't been to a gun show in over a year. Probably closer to a year and a half. Just been too busy doing other stuff. But they seem to be busier. And they haven't taken the private sales away at gun shows. See, at least in most states they haven't. That's the other myth out there. The big myth. Criminals get their guns by going to a gun show and buying it from a private person with no paperwork and no background check. Really? Can I see some statistics on that? Can I see some verifiable, traceable statistics that matter? You know, not just once or twice here and there. But can I see a pattern of this happening? I don't think so. I don't think that that's happening. Again, they like to use that argument, but they can't back it up. They can't back it up. Okay, other good stuff. Now, this next good thing about the gun industry that I'm going to cover is controversial. And I touched a little bit on it last week, and I'm only going to touch a little bit on it this week. But I think George Zimmerman getting acquitted is a good thing. And here's why. Here's why. It is not about race. I don't care what color either of those guys were. Okay? I don't care what color they were. Doesn't matter. If Trayvon Martin was white, it wouldn't matter. If George Zimmerman was African American or whatever, it would not matter to me. I don't care. I see no color, ladies and gentlemen. I have friends, I have very close friends of all races. And I'm perfectly okay with that. But as I see it, as the nation saw it, and the way I look at it, yes, George Zimmerman made some mistakes, but he didn't commit second-degree murder. And that was the charge, and that's what we have to understand. The charge was second-degree murder. Some people think the charge should not have been second-degree murder. And I can kind of see how it was way overcharged. I mean, they grossly overcharged him. Why? Probably politically, that's probably why. They were pressured to do that. Now, should George Zimmerman have been responsible for some mistakes? Yeah, I think so. I think that there were some mistakes he made. But not anywhere close to the degree of second-degree murder. Give me a break. The burden of proof for second-degree murder in most states is pretty high. And there just simply wasn't enough evidence for that. You know, should he have stayed in his vehicle? Yeah, probably. Probably would have been a good idea, George, to stay in your car. Probably would have been a good idea to stay there and not get involved at all. Now, I know, you know, we all heard his explanation as to why he got out of the car and why he followed Trayvon Martin. But it sure seems to me the evidence pretty much showed that George Zimmerman was getting his butt kicked, folks. He was getting his butt kicked in that fight. So he used the gun and he defended himself. And the jury agreed that he should not have been convicted of second-degree murder. Now, are George Zimmerman's troubles over? No, they're not over. They're not over. That's one of the bad things. See, one of the bad things is when you do use your gun in self-defense, even if you do everything right, you could still get in trouble. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more coming up. I mentioned this last week. I'll say it again. Even if you do everything right, you could still get in trouble. This is why you got to be so cautious about using your gun in self-defense. This is why it's got to be a last resort. No other choice. It should not be your first choice, or second, or third, or whatever. Now, you don't have a duty to retreat, at least not in the more free states. In Florida, George Zimmerman did not have a duty to retreat. Although this, you know what, that whole thing has nothing to do with stand your ground, which I'm also going to cover that here a little bit too. But in places like Florida and Texas and Utah, in places like that, you don't have to retreat to use self-defense, to use lethal force to defend yourself. That's a good thing. So that's why I think it's a good thing that George Zimmerman got acquitted, because convicting him of second-degree murder with virtually no evidence to prove that high of a charge would have been, I think, just an absolute, it would have made a complete mockery of our legal system here in the United States that we still are fairly proud of. That it's still a pretty decent system. I'm not going to say it's perfect, but it's a decent system, okay? And it's the system we have, and it's the way it works, and until it's changed, we all live by the same system. And so I think in this case, the system did what it was supposed to do, and it worked. So that's that. And again, you know, God, I hate this racist stuff. I just hate it. I really hate it. I mean, they're causing more racism by calling this a racist crime. Come on. I mean, to the people who really want to get rid of racism, stop calling this Zimmerman case a racist crime. The more you do it, the more the media picks up on it, the more they report, and the more racism just starts to be ginned up among the people. Stop it. Okay? But anyway, one of the good things was that I think his acquittal was a good thing. Okay. Now, let me spend the next half of this podcast talking about some problems in the gun industry and the gun rights industry that I see. Again, it's the way I see it. All right? So let's take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with the negatives.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, and I'm a huge advocate of gun control. Absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt. This is no doubt.
Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
Okay, during the break between segments, I wanted to cover some things with you and let you know that Ben Branham and I have some training classes coming up, and I got a Suarez training class coming up, two of them. First of all, August 10th, there's not much time left if you want to get in on the rifle class, the AR rifle basic class, 4-hour rifle dynamics. We call it rifle dynamics. That's August 10th in San Antonio. We're going to do it in the morning for 4 hours. It won't be too hot, even though it's August in San Antonio. We're going to do it during the cool part of the day. Check that out. That's going to be a good class. Later on in August, I want to say the 24th, we're going up to Dallas to do pistol fighting dynamics. That's another 4-hour class up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Same range we've been at for the last year. Pistol fighting dynamics, another 4-hour class in the morning. These are all good if you are a relative beginner. These are good classes to come to. These are pretty much focused towards beginners. You can see what we teach in those classes just by going to handgunworld.com, and you'll see in the menu there all the classes that we have coming up. We're going down to Brownsville, Texas in October. Those of you way down there in the Rio Grande Valley, if you want to train with Ben and I, we're going down there in October to teach in Brownsville. We're teaching our one day Beyond Concealed Carry down there. So check that out. That's been a very popular class. Lots of terrific reviews. Actually, good reviews on all of them. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's see. Where else are we going? I think I might be missing something. Oh, yeah. September 14th and 15th in San Antonio. Level 2 of our Beyond Concealed Carry class. The people who came through it just absolutely thought it was awesome. And I think a couple of them have already said that they'll be taking the next one that we're going to do again. Level 2, folks, if you took Beyond Concealed Carry with us already, for those of you in South Texas, even those of you up in North Texas, we're not going to be doing this again in Texas for the rest of this year. It's worth the trip to San Antonio. Level 2, we just take Beyond Concealed Carry to the next step. A lot of one-handed gun manipulations and things like that. A lot of shooting of steel. And we do it. We also teach you some things like room clearing and stuff like that. So you're going to really enjoy this, folks. And it's the next level past Beyond Concealed Carry. Check it out. You can find that class listing at handgunworld.com. It's worth the trip coming down to see us, and the price is right. Later on in November, John Payne is coming to San Antonio to teach advanced close-range gunfighting. Now, you had to have either taken close-range gunfighting or another intermediate-level course that Suarez International teaches in order to take advanced close-range gunfighting. If you've never taken a Suarez class before, email me or email John Payne directly and tell us what kind of training that you have had. But advanced close-range gunfighting November 9th and 10th. Check the Suarez International website. That class is over half full already, so don't procrastinate on that. For all of you who have taken CRG, close-range gunfighting, this is the next level of that. And it looks very likely first week in December, I am going to teach point-shooting gunfight skills, a Suarez International class. So, if you've never had a point shooting class, and if you did not come to the point shooting class that Roger Phillips taught in San Antonio back in April, I've been authorized to teach point shooting gunfight skills. It's not point shooting progressions, but it definitely gets you the basics of point shooting. I'll be teaching you the basics. I'm going to introduce you to the point shooting curriculum that Suarez International teaches. It's a two-day class. And it's all about not using your sights, folks. I will have you making hits without using your sights. No doubt about it. I will teach you that sights are an advantage and they're an asset, but they are not a requirement. Once again, I'll teach you that sights are an advantage, but they are not a requirement. Point shooting, gunfight skills. I don't mind calling it that. Okay, I don't mind using the bad word, point shooting class. Whatever you want to call it, reflexive shooting, instinctive shooting. This class, it'll be a game changer for you, folks. So I don't have it confirmed yet, but I'll be announcing it as soon as I do. It's probably going to be the first week in December. Hey, the weather is usually pretty decent in South Texas in December, first week in December. It's usually pretty decent. You might have to throw a jacket on and maybe a warm cap in the morning, and then by noon, It's usually pretty nice. It's usually 55 or 60 degrees by noon. Good shooting weather. Sometimes in early December, we've got 70 degree weather down here in San Antonio. So even for some of you up north, a little farther up north, if you want to have a nice getaway, it's not around Thanksgiving time, and it's not too close to Christmas. It's probably going to be the first week in December. I couldn't get it scheduled any earlier time this year, but look for that class. As soon as I can get all the details confirmed, I'll be announcing it, and I'll be also putting it on the forum, and also there'll be a direct link on my website that'll send you over to Suarez International to sign up. Okay, let's have a quick sound effect here, and then let's get right into what I think is going wrong with the gun industry right now. So the bad parts about what's going on in the gun industry right now, I got to start with ignorant people. I got to start with ignorance about guns. You know, like the story I told you earlier about the lady that didn't know that her husband didn't have to register his gun in Texas. People are just uneducated. And I think that's up to you and me listening to this show. Would you agree with me on that? I think it's up to you and me and everybody who listens to start educating people about firearms. Take them shooting. Take them shooting. My neighbor, well, my former next door neighbor, now I live a half a mile away from him, but he's still my neighbor. He's an ex-military guy. He's not old. He's actually younger than me. But he's a military veteran. I took him shooting, and all of a sudden now he's buying all kinds of guns and ammo. I think it's great. Right? Took him shooting. He hadn't been shooting in a long time. Let him shoot my AR-15s. He had an old Glock 17 second generation that I wish I had. And now he's buying all kinds of guns. Now he's just buying everything you can think of and all kinds of ammunition, and it's great. And he's going out competition shooting with me next weekend. He's already taken our four-hour pistol class, and he might be taking our rifle dynamics class coming up next month. So it's kind of good. It's good to see that. But the general ignorance about guns out there is what's really, really bothering me, especially the ignorance of people when they think that an AR-15 is the same as a military gun, okay? Or the ignorance when they think that, well, you know, 10 rounds certainly has to be enough. Really? Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? You know, I think that there are so many stories you can find where people have been attacked by multiple bad guys. Home invasions by multiple bad guys. Who says 10 rounds is going to be enough? And a true free society should be able to have as many rounds as they need. And another thing going wrong with the gun business right now is the narrative right now about, it's all about public safety, folks. For the good of the people, for public safety reasons, we have to limit magazine capacity. Now, what politician can say with a straight face when you call them on it, what politician can admit or say with a straight face that limiting magazine capacity to 10 rounds will stop a bad guy from carrying a 17-round magazine or a 30-round magazine in his AR-15 or AK? Really? I mean, you know, do they really, really believe that? Are they that stupid? And, you know, here's the problem. There are American there's people in the American public that are that stupid. They really think that a criminal is going to obey these ridiculous laws. And they're all in favor of limiting good people from having lots of rounds in their gun to be able to defend against a bad guy with a lot of rounds in his gun. Okay? Let me say that again. There are ignorant people who believe that it's okay to limit good people, law-abiding citizens, to only 10 rounds in their gun and fight against a bad guy who has more ammunition, like 17 in his pistol or 30 rounds in his AR-15 rifle. So why do we have Americans that want to support making law-abiding citizens at a weaker position defending against bad guys? Do you really think a bunch of bad guys are going to start turning in their high-capacity magazines? Oop, sorry, I misspoke. They're normal-capacity magazines. Do you really think so? Right? Do you really think that... And I'm not talking about politicians here, okay? I'm speaking to American people, and of course, some of them, the problem is they're not listening to this show. So, here's one of the negatives. There's not enough people listening to my show. That's one of the bad things about this industry right now. Okay? I'm not saying that because I'm arrogant. There's not enough people listening to podcasts in general, especially gun podcasts. Because 99% of all the gun podcasts I've heard are good ones. And they're done by sane people that have good ideas and that are not full of baloney. And they really are out for the good guy. Okay? But there's not enough people listening to shows like this. And so they're not getting educated about what's going on out there. So they believe any doofus politician that happens to get a news interview that starts throwing out inaccurate statistics. And that's the problem that we have. So, would you do me a favor? Please tell people about my show. Please encourage people to listen. Tell them I'm just an everyday dude. You know, tell them I'm pretty much a low-key guy. You know, tell them I'm not arrogant, and if I make mistakes, I admit my mistakes, and I put my mistakes on the air, and I correct them, and I'm open-minded, and I'm willing to embrace new things and stuff like that. And, you know, they're not going to listen to some wacko who's living out on the fringe when they listen to my show or many of the other podcasts on the Gun Rights Radio Network, and even some of them who aren't on the network. So education is the problem. That's a big problem. We do not have a good gun education system in this country. We need a better gun education system. People need to be educated about firearms. They need to know the realities of it. You're right. There are people that don't know that an AR-15 is semi-automatic. Seriously. I mean, you might laugh listening to this. You might think, gee, Bob, doesn't everybody know that an AR-15 is a semi-automatic gun? The answer is no. Not everybody knows that a semi-automatic or that an AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle. It's sickening. Okay, we still have people that are so ignorant, that are so uneducated about keeping guns safely in their home, that they don't even know how to properly, safely keep guns in their home. We also have people that don't even know how to educate their kids properly about firearms. Quite a while ago, over 2 years ago, I think I did a podcast on teaching your kids about firearms safety. I might renew that podcast coming up. I don't believe in kid-proofing your guns. I believe in gun-proofing your kids. My son is gun-proofed. Okay? From an early age, I started teaching my son about weapon safety. I got him shooting at an early age. I took the curiosity about guns away from him. I made him realize how lethal these things are. I made him realize the awesome responsibility of carrying a gun and what it means, even though he can't carry a gun right now. I'm already educating him to the huge responsibility of that. He's been shooting. He's learned how to safely operate them. Okay? And I don't worry about him. I don't worry about him because he's educated. And he's also got a couple of good parents, which really helps. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of gun accidents by children are the parents' fault. Ooh, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But it's true. I think it's true. A lot of gun accidents by children are the parents' fault. Not all of them, but many of them are. And that's one of the bad things going on in the gun industry right now. So, if you have guns, teach your kids about them. And just because you have kids, don't think that you can't have guns. I hear this all the time. Here's something else wrong with our industry. I got kids in the house. I got young kids in the house. I can't have guns. Baloney. Sure you can. Sure you can. Okay? There's some pretty good ways to keep a gun safely in your house for protection, even though you have young children. First of all, you're going to have to become a parent. You're going to have to become a responsible parent. You yourself are going to have to get educated about guns, and you're going to have to start teaching your kids. I believe you can teach a kid 3 or 4 years old to start learning about firearm safety. At that age, okay, I didn't start teaching my son till he was about 6 or 7. I think I waited a little bit too long, but he's squared away now, so I'm okay with that. Okay, he's almost 16 years old. He's squared away. But here's the thing, folks. You got to be a parent. You have to learn about guns and get educated. Then teach your kids and then store them safely in your home. And you can do that. You can store them safely in your home and still have them readily available to use for self-defense. I think it's a shame if you have kids in the house. I think it's a shame that you don't have guns. You know why? If somebody has kids in the house and they don't have guns, those poor little innocent children are probably going to be defenseless in a home invasion. Man, isn't that awful? So they use this ridiculous argument that because they have young kids that they can't have guns. That's laziness on the part of parents. And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but I think it's the truth. Okay, another bad thing about the gun industry. .22 ammo is still hard to find. I know other ammo seems to be readily available or becoming more available, but .22 caliber, .22 long rifle, boy, that stuff's still hard to find. Man, I wish that would straighten up soon. Recently, you know, Colorado's stupid magazine limit. And because of states like Colorado and New York and many of the others that are passing these ridiculous magazine restrictions and these stupid gun laws, one of the negatives, and I do think this is a negative for some parts of the country, we have firearms manufacturers and firearms accessories manufacturers leaving states where they've been a long time because of the ridiculous gun laws being passed. And matter of fact, they're checking out states like Texas. And good, bring them on. I'd love to have them come to Texas. That'd be great. You know, so it's good for Texas, bad for the other states. Overall, it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing because people are going to lose jobs in those states. Some of these firearms companies are going to move and they're going to take the jobs with them. And some of the people will be out of work. As if there's not enough people out of work already, there's going to be more. So that's a bad thing. By the way, another correction I want to make. My congressman is Lloyd Doggett, not John Doggett. I think I said John Doggett in the first part of the podcast. Lloyd Doggett is my congressman. Lloyd Doggett from Texas, Democrat. So anyway, I just thought about that. That's a correction I want to make. Another negative. Did you hear the story recently about the knucklehead up in Washington State that fired his shotgun twice in the air because he thought that somebody was going to come in his house, and he used the Joe Biden defense, said that Vice President Biden gave him that advice? Did you hear about that? I'll post a link. Steve Zofie from the Power Factor Show made me aware of it. I didn't even know about it, and he put it on Facebook, and I'll put a link in the show notes. If you haven't heard about that, you can read the article. You know, like Steve from the Power Factor Show said, hey, it was bound to happen, right? Some doofus was going to finally do what Vice President Joe Biden, another brilliant gun expert, right, telling people to shoot their shotgun in the air to scare off intruders. You knew it was a matter of time that some stupid person was going to do that, and didn't take very long. Some stupid person did it. And now they're in trouble with the law. See, that's the problem when uneducated politicians act like experts. And unfortunately, these uneducated politicians, many of them are in positions of power. We got to do something about that. Another bad thing going on right now in the gun industry, there seems to be a lot of people getting concealed carry licenses, and that's good, but they're not carrying their guns. And the reason I know this is because I talked to some of them. I talked to a lot of them, as a matter of fact. When I find out that somebody has a CHL, that's what we call it here in Texas, I ask them, what are you carrying today? Oh, I'm not carrying my gun. I don't have it on me. It's in my truck. Of course, their truck's parked, you know, 100 feet away. Okay. What good is their gun going to do in their truck that's parked 100 feet away and not on them? What if they get attacked in the space that they're in and they can't run 100 feet to their truck to get the gun? The only time the gun in your truck does you any good is if you're attacked while you're in your truck. I mean, come on, you know? They're not carrying their guns. I always ask the question when I find out someone's got a CHL. I ask them, what are you carrying today? Just curious. So many times I hear, I'm not carrying. Why? What the heck did you get the license for? I mean, really? Seriously? I mean, I can understand. Now, maybe some people got the license because they were afraid that maybe someday they won't be able to get it. So that's legitimate. Okay. But then carry. Come on, folks, carry. Why aren't you carrying your gun? I mean, of course, where it's legal. Make sure it's legal to carry where you're carrying. But if it's legal, for gosh sakes, carry. I don't care if you're carrying a little pocket gun. If that's all you can get away with is a little pocket 380, I sometimes carry one. At least carry something, even if it's a pocket gun. Oh, no, I'm not carrying today. Right? Or this, or I hear this. I'm carrying, but I don't have one in the chamber. Really? Wow, that... What's up with that? You're carrying a gun, but you're not carrying one in the chamber. I know the Israelis used to do that. I don't even think that they still carry that way anymore, do they? In my opinion, you know, I borrowed this from Tom Gresham at Gun Talk, but I agree with him. A gun without a round in the chamber is an unloaded gun. If you really think that in a reactive gunfight, in a split second or in fraction, you know, in 1 or 2 seconds, if you really think that you can draw and chamber a round and be able to fire, I think you're sorely mistaken. I think you're very sorely mistaken. So, if you don't feel comfortable carrying a gun with a round in the chamber, you need some training. Or you need better equipment. You know, if you don't have enough confidence in your holster, then, you know, change that. Change your equipment or something. Let me grab this call. I'll be right back. Okay, that call was from Ben Branham. I had to talk to him for a little bit about a few things. He gave me some ideas for the rest of this podcast also. Anyway, I was saying, you know, if you don't feel comfortable enough carrying a gun in your chamber, around in your chamber because of holster or just because you don't feel like it's safe, you need some training. You need to learn how to draw that pistol safely or get a pistol that you feel safe drawing from a holster. I'll tell you what, I had some friends over the other day to my new house, and the wife is thinking about getting a little Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380, which is a nice little 380, nice little pocket-sized 380. I have a Bodyguard, Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380. So I let her dry fire it in the house, and she liked it. And it's got a long trigger pull. It's got a long, pretty hard trigger pull. And she was a little bit surprised by that, but felt like, you know, she could manage that and that would be safe. And she said to herself, you know, that would be safe. I feel I could safely carry this gun and not have to worry about accidentally firing the gun when I didn't want to. So that's one of the advantages of a small pistol like that with a very long trigger pull. That's pretty hard trigger pull. That must be like about a 9 or 10 pound trigger pull is what it feels like on that gun. And that's one of the advantages. Is that they're very, very safe. The chances are almost nothing that it's going to ever, you know, fire when you don't intend it to fire, because you really have to make a conscious effort to pull that trigger. So carry around in the chambers. That's one bad thing that I've heard, and I've heard that more often than I've been surprised as to how often I've heard that. Now, another bad thing is the media. And, here's what I'm going to say about the media. I don't want to gripe too much about them because everybody gripes about the media. I'm just going to say they don't report the good stuff about guns. They don't report enough of the incidents where citizens use a gun safely and responsibly to defend themselves and save their own life or save the lives of their family or their kids. How come not enough of those stories make the news? As a matter of fact, that right there is probably the biggest problem we have here in the United States and maybe even in other countries. You know, I'm gonna ask my international listeners, you know, send me some emails. Tell me what the media is like in your country. You know, how does the media react to guns in your country? They hear there's not enough reporting of the good stuff. They're always reporting the bad stuff about guns. They're always reporting about gangbangers, or they're always reporting about people that use guns to do something bad or accidents. senseless accidents that don't need to happen. But not enough times do you hear on the national news. I just wish once a national news network, any of them, the cable networks or the public networks, I just wish one of them would make a national news story and talk about for 2 days on the news about a 75-year-old grandma who uses her .38 revolver to stop a bad guy who was trying to break in her house and harm her. You know, I wish they'd go on for 2 days, just like they go on for 2 days or even a week about other stuff, like George Zimmerman, for example. Okay? They go on for a week, needlessly, senselessly, and it's still going on about George Zimmerman and what he did. Why won't they spend a couple of days running all kinds of reports, and they're all out there. There's literally hundreds of them. About the good things that people do with firearms to protect themselves. That's a problem. That's one of the bad things going on in the country right now about guns and about firearms. Another bad thing is we still don't have schools that have woken up yet about the need to use firearms to protect schools. Now, it's a controversial argument as to whether teachers should be carrying guns. I get that. But why can't school officials be trained? Why can't well-trained school officials, hand-picked, be trained and have guns in the classroom, or have guns in the school at least? At least in the school. I know of a private school in San Antonio that's doing it. I know of a private school in San Antonio, and some of those school officials have been through my training classes. And I know about some of the firearms that they keep and some of the training that they do. It's a private school, so they can do whatever they want. You know, so we don't have enough schools warming up to it, though. Enough of the public schools. A lot of real misinformation going on. And again, this all boils down to ignorance and lack of education. That's what it really is ignorance and lack of education. Okay, another bad thing we've got going on with respect to guns is we've got financial institutions that are becoming anti-gun. We've got financial lenders that don't want to lend money to gun manufacturers anymore. Or they don't want to lend money to people that want to open up a gun range or open up a gun store. Because it has to do with firearms. Okay, or we've got payment processing companies that are anti-gun. And we've got Google that won't allow firearms or firearms-related equipment to be sold on the Google store. And we've got, you know, processing companies that don't want to allow people to use their services to process payments for firearms sales. Okay, so it's almost like this business effort to attack the gun industry as well. And why? It's all because of ignorance, and it's because they're fed this baloney and this garbage that guns are bad. It's not guns that are bad, it's people that are bad. That's the problem right there, is that it's people that are bad. Okay, and to wrap up the bad stuff, there might be more, you might think of some more, you might think of some good stuff that maybe I haven't covered, you might think of some bad stuff that I haven't covered. So please get a hold of me. Drop me an email, bob@handgunworld.com. Send me a voicemail. Get on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. Put a comment on my blog page or something like that, or on my Facebook page. If you want to find me on Facebook, the easiest way to find me on Facebook, just go to handgunworld.com and click the Follow Me button. There's a Facebook tab there and a Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter that way. That's probably the easiest way to find my Facebook page. But the problem, and this is going to sound strange, and I'm going to close with probably the weirdest problem that you've ever heard. And we'll see what kind of reaction I get when I say this. I'm going to take a risk. I think the problem, a big problem we have, is people buying too many guns. Okay? And here's what I mean, okay? People buying too many guns, and they're using up all that money that they could be using for training and ammunition. And I know that there's a lot of people not coming to training classes because they don't have the money, because they just got done dropping thousands of dollars on guns and ammo, and now all their disposable cash for the next 4 or 5 months are used up when they could have bought maybe one or two guns and learn how to use it better and get some training. Even if it's the rules of engagement, like taking a Masada Yub course or something like that. Or from anybody that teaches that kind of stuff. Get some training beyond your concealed carry. Now, I know people are going to say, here you go again, Bob, harping on training. There you go. All right. Yeah, you're right. There I go again. There I go again, harping on training. You know why? You know why I talk about training? Because what it's done in my life. That's why. I've been talking about training long before I became an instructor, folks. Long before I became an instructor, I was talking about getting training or getting into the competition sports. I talked about both of them for a long time before I ever became a firearms instructor. So I'm not urging you to get training. It's not for economic reasons. It's not for selfish reasons. It's because I strongly believe in it. People buying too many guns, too many ammo, and they think that a bunch of hardware, they think a safe full of guns and ammo is going to protect them. And I know some people with a safe full of guns and ammunition, and when I get out on the range with them, they can't shoot so well. And when I start to teach them some combative techniques and some self-defense techniques, they're not so good. And they got all these guns and ammo. They have all these wonderful, cool guns. Some of them have better guns than I have, cooler guns than I have, more ammunition than I have. But a lot of them don't have the skill I have. Some of them do. Folks, I need more skill. I need to learn more. I keep taking training. I'm going to, by the time this year is over, I will have taken 3 training classes. See, I'm going to take advanced close-range gunfighting as a student. I'm not going to be there teaching any of it. John Payne's going to be teaching that. I'm going to be there as a student. I'm going to train with all of you at advanced close-range gunfighting by Suarez International. The last rifle class Ben Branham taught, I took it as a student. I want to learn. We'll learn how to use my rifle. There's another training class I'm considering taking probably in September. Thinking about taking a Suarez rifle class. Okay? Taught by John Payne at Suarez, because I need more rifle training. So, folks, there's a lot I need to know. And I'll close with this. The more I know, the more I need to know. I said that wrong. The more I know, the more I know I need to know. There we go. I got it right that time. So, that's one thing bad about the industry. Hopefully that's going to change. So, with all that said, folks, I think that's pretty much it. I covered the good, the bad. I guess I didn't cover the ugly, but I guess there is no ugly. And I hope you got something out of this. I hope with the good stuff, I talked about some motivating stuff for you. And maybe I got you thinking about some actions that you could take. And I hope with the bad stuff, when I talked about that, I hope that maybe I also got you motivated to try to make some changes, maybe to influence politicians or to influence your friends and neighbors about firearms or to educate yourself or to educate your kids or get your kids out shooting and things like that. Okay? That was kind of my goal in this podcast, is to just kind of get you thinking. And you may not agree with everything I said, and that's okay. I don't want you to agree with everything I say, because if you agree with everything I say, you might need to get some help, because I am no perfect person whatsoever. With that said, folks, thanks again for listening to yet another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. I'll talk to you next week, folks. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Goodbye.